Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. I'm your guest host today, Monsignor Richard Sosman, the pastor of the Peru Catholic Parishes here in Illinois. Today we have two special guests, John and Ashley Nerona from Rome, or people I got to know living in Rome. I thought it'd be interesting to talk with them. This is their last day in the States, and we thank you for coming to be with us today. They lived in Rome during the coronavirus, and they have made their life in Rome. So I thought it would be good to have them come in today and share with all of you.
We're glad to be here, Monsignor.
Yeah,
thank you.
We're so delighted to be a part of this.
Good, good. Well, thank you, John. Thank you, Ashley. How was it that you came to be in Rome during the time of coronavirus?
So John and I have been living in Rome for the last 12 years, and we went to Rome to do our graduate studies. We were going to do our further studies and thought that meant we'd stay for 2 years, but then in all kinds of ways, the Lord let us know. He put on our hearts that that is exactly where he wanted us. So we have had all kinds of adventures. We've worked in many different fields and have so enjoyed our ministry right there in the heart of the church. So that's where we were when things started locking down.
And Ashley, you're originally from the Prairie State?
Oh, I am so proud to say that I am, in fact. And although I was not born in Springfield, Illinois, I very much call it home. And that's where my parents have lived for the past 40 years. And we're proud that, of course, it's the home of Abe Lincoln. And we tell people, when we tell people from all over the world that that is from where we hail. One funny thing that always comes up is that instead of people saying, oh, great, Abe Lincoln, they say, oh, great, The Simpsons. Everybody knows that cartoon.
I found that to be true. Yes. When I first lived in Rome in the early 90s, if you said Illinois, they would look confused.
Right.
And then you would have to say the same state of Chicago. Oh, sure. Alfonso Capone. Al Capone.
We're so proud.
But then when I went back in 2008 and lived there, you know, 10 years, The Simpsons kept coming up because, well, I would say there are Springfield's in almost every state, but they would say, well, but it's the state capital, so obviously that's where the Simpsons live.
That's right.
And then El Senatore de Illinois. In 2008, before Barack Obama was elected president, they always referred to him as the senator from Illinois. And
there
so then people knew where Illinois was. John, your background is not Illinois.
No, actually, we met in Philadelphia. And I'm a native of a little place in India called Goa, which was a Portuguese colony, and then came to the U.S. to do my graduate studies, but it was in technology. So after doing multiple graduate degrees in engineering and information systems, I was actually in the technology field. So I ended up being a corporate executive in that field. And then eventually switched to do a master's in philosophy, which then led to theology.
Wow.
And then eventually went to Rome to do a doctorate in bioethics.
But you met each other in Philadelphia?
We met each other in Philly. Yeah. And actually, we were friends for 5 years. We ran in the same Catholic circles, and we had this beautiful friendship. And then one day, after 5 years, after 5 years of friendship, John popped a courtship question to me. And, of course, my initial reaction was, now, wait a minute, John. How could we date? We're such good friends. We're really good at it. And then I realized that that was an awfully good place to start. And so we realized very quickly that through our friendship, we had had the gift of, we got to know each other's characters. We had built up trust levels, all those things. We didn't have to start from zero as we began then our courtship. All we really had left to do was to fall in love. And that can be fast. And so just a few months later, we were planning our marriage. And then soon after that, next thing we knew, we were planning a move to Rome.
Yes, wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful. And you're both from Catholic families, Catholic backgrounds?
Yes, that's we right. are.
You mentioned mm-hmm. you were in the same Catholic circles in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Which is, I think, a very Catholic city.
Very much so. In fact, that's what attracted me to Philly. I was at a point, my former career was in international marketing, lifestyle marketing, and I was traveling constantly. And it got to the point where it really didn't matter where I was based. And I decided then to choose Philly because in my travels, I had been there and I had experienced this really strong young adult Catholic community. And I thought that would be amazing to be surrounded by peers who could be supportive in
yes,
the faith.
Yes, indeed. Wonderful. That's mm-hmm. great. Okay, so you married then? And
yes.
then you soon thereafter moved to Rome?
We got married in John's hometown of Bangalore, India.
Oh, nice.
And
but mm-hmm. maybe to talk yeah. about the move to Rome. So we were just a couple of weeks away from our wedding, mm-hmm. and Ashley by this time had finished her master's in theology. And she just felt that she was being called to do a doctorate or some higher studies. And she had been looking around and couldn't find the right program. And then one day she calls me and says, guess what? I found the perfect program. There's just one little catch. It's in Rome. What do you think about that? And I said, all right, I'll think about it, pray about it. But very unusually for me, within less than a minute, I had this peace just come completely, totally over me and fill me. And I was like, all right, let's go to Rome.
Being technology, usually you're a micromanager.
That's right.
And thinker, and you have to reason it. But
and I'm not averse to risk, but it's yeah. calculated risk.
Right,
but
right.
here, it was one of those things where at our wedding, friends and family would come up with the most common and reasonable questions. Things like, so you're going to Rome. Do you have a place to live there? No. Do you have jobs lined up for you? No. Do you speak the language? No. But you're going to Rome.
Yes.
One of those Holy Spirit moments.
It was a strong matrimonial decision very early on then.
You're right. Uh-huh.
That's
indeed.
Good. Ashley, what are three things in Rome you found that were a surprise for you?
Well, I will say that I absolutely love the church bells. I love the bells because I feel like it's a constant reminder to offer our day as we hear them throughout the day. And so it just really keeps me on track for that consecration. I love it. One thing that I could say I was surprised by was perhaps the lack of organization of many things. So it makes me appreciate the customer service, the great customer service that we get here in the U.S. of A.
A lack of good Midwestern organization.
Though. There we go. I think you said it perfectly, Monsignor.
Perhaps people think differently.
Yes, I think they do.
Differently organized.
Yes. Because they manage to get things done, don't they?
Because they all understand things the same way. And so it's hard for someone from outside. That was,
right.
This is how I experienced it. They have a natural sense of how things
sure.
should be.
Sure.
And
yeah.
so, John, is there anything that surprised you when you moved to Rome? Or?
Well, the one thing which was so lovely was to see so many different kinds of clerical attire, all the different colors of religious habits, uh-huh. and it was just so common everywhere. You don't get to see so much, and it just becomes so common, and then all the cars have rosaries on hanging down and everything, so it was just so lovely. And I didn't appreciate as much until we went away from Rome, and we were like, huh, this is different. And also, going back to the discussion on the Italian way of doing things, mm-hmm. I love the piano way of doing mm-hmm. things. Uh-huh. Do everything slowly. I mean, they take that to a new level, so I think maybe somewhere in between would be the ideal.
Yeah.
But just that idea of enjoying family, friends, meals is such a lovely thing to just think about mm-hmm. and to adopt that.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of work do you do in Rome? And you went to study. Where did you study?
Mm-hmm. So I was at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross. And this is the same university where I teach these days. I teach media training in crisis communications, but especially for priests and seminarians. Mm-hmm. So I teach there, and at the Pontifical North American College, I do my course as well. And also, we wear a lot of different hats in the kind of work that we do. I also work as the Rome correspondent for the Relevant Radio Network, which is such a joy because I get to share Rome, and that's just fun. And I was the English language official at the Pontifical Council for Social Communications at the Vatican, which was a very interesting experience. I had two different bosses. My first one was Pope Benedict the 16th, and my second one was Pope Francis, and each had very different styles, and so that was quite an interesting experience, and
In an office where being a functionary is considered a great thing.
Right.
In the bureaucracy, which is also a positive word in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much outside.
True.
So you had to probably learn how to do things differently.
Yes, most definitely. There was definitely a learning curve because I went in, as you're saying, more with a different mentality. So that's part of the fun.
And John, how do you occupy your time these days?
So I teach at different universities, including the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross. And it is really cool because after I gave up my career in technology, I thought I was giving it up for good. But I was asked to teach a course in technology. And I love that because I go into the philosophy, anthropology. And,
good.
Yeah, because it has to be a course about pretty much everything. And what's challenging and also really special for me is that I have everyone from those sweet sisters who've never opened a laptop to those who are doing technology work for their dioceses mm-hmm. across the world
mm-hmm.
and have to make it engaging for everyone. So it's so enjoyable. And to think that we get to teach students that come from about 80 different countries around the world. And in addition, I was a consultant for a Vatican commission. And also, we recently founded a new nonprofit called the Truth and Beauty Project, which keeps us busy. And in between everything, Ashley has a special gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of multiplying time. So when she does make time for those who really want to get an in-depth spiritual pilgrimage of Rome, we love to share the city, the history, the spirituality, and everything of the city with people who want that deep experience of the faith going all the way back to the roots of the faith.
Good. And the Truth and Beauty Project, can you talk a little bit about that?
So, Monsignor, that was something that the Lord put on our hearts a few years ago, and it's amazing how it has evolved into an opportunity for any group of six or more people to come to Rome, and for a week, we customize a program where we go really deep into sharing everyone's Christian identity with them, teaching them what it authentically means to live a Christian life. And it's so profound and beautiful. And we do it through tours and art and talks. And we bring in interesting speakers and we have fabulous Italian meals and discussions. And it's just, what we've discovered is that it has become a life-changing experience. Mm-hmm. And we have a special scholarship program, especially for youth. So the idea is that young Catholics from anywhere in the world can apply to come to this program, to come and have this experience, and to learn all the things I mentioned. And what we have seen is that, we've seen it change lives. In fact, I was just speaking a few days ago to a participant. She participated 2 years ago, and she's got this fabulous new job, and she was updating us on everything, and she said, I can't thank you enough because it all started right there with that program.
Wonderful.
Praise God. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite place to show people?
There's so many.
Well, I think it's hard to point to a favorite place because the way the Holy Spirit works is that for each group or each individual,
mm-hmm.
it's something. Now, one of our formulas for our success is that if one of us is out there with the group, the other is praying.
Oh, great.
And so often we go with a plan based on what we've discussed with the group in advance. But then once we're with the group, it's just unbelievable because the original plan would have been to take a certain path and cover certain sites. And then something changed and they asked the specific question that was particular to that particular site.
Oh.
And so it's just that I explain things because the question came, but later on they tell us, oh my gosh, I was struggling with this or that. And what you told us about that particular saint or church or history was exactly what touched my heart and healed me from something or the other. And so we've just seen that what becomes favorite is particular to the group.
Wonderful.
And we just constantly, while we are with groups, our formula is we are with the group, but at the back of my mind, just praying and asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide the group. And so it is just amazing. But what we generally do is try to give them a combination of church history, Roman history, liturgy, art history, and bring everything together in the light of how privileged we are to be a part of this grace-filled faith that we share.
And sure. And I know Central Rome has 400 Catholic churches, plus museums,
exactly.
Plus probably thousands of ancient monuments. So The Holy Spirit has a lot of source material that you
right.
can use. Well, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk to John and Ashley more about the life in Rome during the coronavirus.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Here's an easy way to donate to Catholic Spirit Radio. As an Amazon shopper, you can donate 0.5% of your purchase cost to Catholic Spirit Radio, also known as 2820 Communications. Before making a purchase, you will always need to log into smile.amazon.com, search and select 2820 Communications, or choose this charity under account settings. Thank you for supporting Catholic Spirit Radio through 2820 Communications with your Amazon Smile purchase.
And we're back with Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. I'm your guest host today, Monsignor Sozman, with John and Ashley Nerona, who are here, have graced us with their presence. They're currently living in Rome. And as you heard in the last segment, the COVID crisis. Mm. What can we say?
Mm-hmm.
I know that Italy suffered much more greatly than other countries early on.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that early experience?
Sure.
Yeah, for us it was interesting because we had a Truth and Beauty project in January, and then we were invited to Wales to give a talk at a conference. So when we came in, we just about made it into the airport when they were taking our temperature just days before the lockdown. And the lockdown was really hard, super strict. And it involved going out only for emergencies. You had to carry these self-order declaration forms. And the forms kept changing every few days. And not only did you have to go out only for emergency reasons, but it was only one member of a household who could go even to buy food.
One member at a time or one chosen member for the duration?
No, one member at a time.
Okay, well, that's a little better.
You could be stopped. There were carabinieri, the Italian police, who would be walking, driving around. There were helicopters, at one point even drones. And if they stopped you, they could take your temperature. And then if they felt the need to, they could give you a test. And if you were found to be positive, you could actually be sent to jail for up to 5 years. And when they stopped you, you could even get a huge penalty for having the wrong version of the form. And even if you're standing outside a grocery store, they could come up to you and ask you to show your papers and your form, and it was really, really very serious.
And even when leaving the house, we were bound to stay within 200 meters. So, for example, the grocery store, if your favorite grocery store was on the other side of town, that wasn't going to be a possibility. You had to go to the nearest one, and they would check for that to make sure you're in the right zone. So it was intense.
Now, I know that some of the operations of the Vatican continued with some of the offices maintaining their normal work, but that wasn't the case for anybody else, was it?
That is correct. So, for example, the Secretary of State and other offices, they continued. And even anyone else in Italy who was considered to be an essential or emergency service provider could continue to work. For example, we had a problem with our heater, and so we called the Tecnico, and he could come in. He wore a mask. He had his self-declaration form, and so... So anyone who had any kind of essential service could continue to provide that service during that time.
I know here I consider myself an essential worker, a priest, but apparently that wasn't declared by Governor Pritzker until the end of April. So, but I was never stopped. But, you know, I kept my collar on. But so that the atmosphere you had then was pretty oppressive. I mean... But you managed to maintain your joy during that time, because you would see I would see you on vlogs. The Neuronas have a very popular vlog series. Where is that available?
Yes, so we originally posted it on Facebook, and now it's on YouTube under our Crazy Rome Life, which just sums it up. Our Crazy Rome Life.
Yes, and one of the first vlogs I remember seeing is Sunday morning, and Ashley was fixing her clothing, and John came out with his tie, and they said they were getting ready to go to Mass.
She had to get her right purse.
Oh, that's right. She had to get the right purse. And then they sat down on their couch in front of the television screen, because that's the only Mass they could attend at the time. But that was a very joyful response.
Yes, praise God. Well, you know, when the lockdown happened, John and I talked, and we said, you know, we just really asked the Holy Spirit to tell us how we could continue to evangelize from this new position that we were in. And we really clearly understood the words that the gospel cannot be quarantined. And so what that meant to us was to use the skills that we could muster to share things with people. Well, in the meantime, because as you mentioned earlier, Monsignor, there in Italy, we were probably a month or so ahead of the U.S., ahead of India and other parts of the world. And so people were writing us with lots of questions. And so what we were sensing was a need for information. And also people were scared. They were anxious. So we decided that that's what we were going to provide. Information and joy. And so that was our goal in our videos. And so some were longer and were question answer, and then some cute little funny vignettes like the one you mentioned. And what we discovered was that it really did serve its purpose. And so we didn't, when we started, we didn't know how to edit. We didn't know anything like that. It was a lot of late nights. John was amazing doing all of that and learning that quickly, but we had a lot of fun with it.
Social media really played a big part in keeping people focused, I think. And I think probably Facebook and some of these social media sites have had much more Catholic influence or Christian influence than they had before, you know, because masses were being broadcast or live streamed.
That was a beautiful thing to, and so many, for example, we had so many priest friends who were doing scripture studies and different ways to involve people. It was just really creative, and it was wonderful to see that in action.
Good, good, good. And then what are some of the other coping skills you came up with?
Well, one thing we realized right away was that the spirit of blooming wherever we are planted now took on a new meaning because we were confined. And so we decided that, so Ashley makes a conscious effort to, despite all the directions we are pulled in, to always have time for us to spend together. And so here we were like, oh my gosh, one of the blessings is that we get to spend all this time together and have all this quality time by ourselves. And Ashley came up with this new idea, again, based on what people were going through, which is called Brighter Corners, mm-hmm. and what was the main?
The Sparkler's Diaries.
Sparkler's Diaries. And
so, that sounds very womanish.
Right? Right?
Yeah. You want to talk more about that?
Oh,
how
yeah,
it came
that
to be
fun.
With the balcony thing?
Well, so one of the initiatives that happened in Rome, Monsignor, was that our mayor one night asked all of us that at 9 p.m., so in other words, as it had just gotten dark, mm-hmm. to take our cell phones, flip on the flashlight feature, and to wave our cell phones. And the idea was just to show these lights of hope. And as I'm looking out, you can imagine the beauty of these twinkling lights in the Roman skyline. Mm-hmm. And as I'm looking out at them and I'm thinking about all these people with their stories and what everyone is going through, but the fact that these were all twinkling lights of hope, I was inspired. And so I created the Sparkler's Diaries, which was a website that brought together good news, good things that people were doing around the world during this time.
Oh, good.
And John mentioned the initiative of Brighter Corners, which was part of this, which was giving ideas for people just like us, regular people, to do starting at home to make their corners, to make their world around them just a little brighter. So starting at home and then from there, moving out to their neighbors, moving out to their community, and on from there. So it was a way for people to inspire each other. People sent in stories. I sent out the stories to the whole group. I mean, it was just really a wonderful time of inspiration.
Good, mm-hmm. good.
It was such a brilliant idea because even beginning with us, we decided that in our own apartment building, Ashley came up with this simple idea of leaving plants outside the doors of our neighbors. And it was interesting because the neighbors...
And maybe we should say we live in an apartment complex.
An apartment complex. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting that the neighbors didn't really know each other nor have a desire to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, suddenly, with this small, simple gesture, all of a sudden, they were just so grateful. And we also left a little note that this is a sign of spring, a sign of hope, and a sign mm-hmm. of looking forward at a sign of new life and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did was help people change their mentality from feeling sorry for themselves and victims to, all right, what can I do to make things brighter for myself and to make things better and brighter and do some kind of spiritual or charitable good for other people,
okay.
whether it was a simple call to other people,
mm-hmm.
those who were lonely, or whether it was doing simple things that you could during this time.
Good, wonderful. And you shared dinner up from your balconies?
Yes. During the lockdown, this was just another way to make the best of the situation. We had a standing Sunday afternoon lunch date with our neighbors. But, of course, everyone's quarantined, so how do you do that? Mm-hmm. Well, Monsignor, we had lunch balcony to balcony. They would be on theirs, we would be on ours, and it was wonderful. We would chat back and forth and catch up, and it was just a wonderful thing to look forward to. And it kind of was contagious too, because it happened with some of our other neighbors that people would just start chatting about the weather or whatever it was. But these conversations weren't necessarily happening before lockdown, right?
You got to know your
neighbors. People were just doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, Rome is such an urban city.
Yes.
With people moving in and out sometimes.
Absolutely.
Just for studies or
mm-hmm.
or for work. Or mm-hmm. that I suppose there's a natural reluctance to know your neighbors
right.
until you get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have friends for life, I suppose.
Indeed.
Exactly. You did have a tragedy amongst your neighbors.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did. On Palm Sunday, our closest neighbor lost his father, who was a doctor working on the front lines in Fano, Italy. And on that same day, we lost John's aunt in England. Mm-hmm. And she, too, died with COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really tough. But one of the beautiful consolations that we had as a family was that although, of course, obviously, we were not able to see her funeral, we were able to have a special mass for the family online.
Okay.
And so it just brought some closure for us all. It was just a beautiful thing for us. And 500 some views, so we knew that other loved ones were able to be there too. So it was awesome.
That's good. And then the aftermath, how has Rome been reborn? Mm-hmm. How has your life come back? Mm-hmm. How has that all happened? Mm-hmm. You're here on vacation, which is a wonderful thing.
Right.
I think
right.
you're here on vacation.
Yes, yes.
So what Italy did was to open phases. So phase one, you could continue to go out. It had to be kind of semi-essential. Uh-huh. But instead of 200 meters, it was now extended to 600 meters. And you still had to follow all kinds of rules. But then the second phase opened up even more. So now you could actually go into stores with the mask, but it wasn't limited to a certain number of people, depending on the size of the store
oh, yeah,
or building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So by the end of June, I think, things opened up because, you know, the Italians and their summer. So as soon as you have
I was thinking about that, yeah.
sunshiny uh-huh. weather. Uh-huh. So normally, you know, they take August off.
Yeah.
And it's hard for the rest of the world to imagine that they take the entire month off, and it's not part of their regular annual vacation time.
No.
So just the ferie, the holidays.
Yeah.
But this time, they could actually take their holidays in July and extend it. So people started going out, going to the beaches, and the beaches were absolutely packed with people. And even if you combed the sand, you wouldn't find any mask or anything. People just went out, and thankfully, we didn't have any spikes or anything.
No, the sea breezes, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mm-hmm. sea breeze being outdoors and everything. So the Italians were just so relieved that they didn't lose their summer.
I do know when I came back to the office, vacation never seemed a success to my Italian friends or coworkers unless I had a tan.
It's so true.
You know, and so I would maybe try to work on my face or hands a little bit before I went back because otherwise, oh, you didn't have a good vacation.
Exactly. They decide how much fun you had this summer based on your tan.
Yes, yes. And I'm like, well, I don't have olive skin.
But yeah, if you're not bronzato, bene, well, bronzed, mm-hmm. then it means you haven't had a good summer.
No.
So when you go back, will you be in quarantine then? When, or is it, how is everything back to normal?
So the way things work now is leaving or entering the country depends on where you're going and how you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason we could come back to the United States is because we are citizens of mm-hmm. the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then going back, we actually have a layover in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to Fiumicino in Rome, we are not coming on an international flight from the U.S. We are actually coming in from Amsterdam, so it will be a local European Union flight.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works in Italy now is unless you're coming from a hot zone, then you don't have to quarantine you have symptoms. So if you're asymptomatic, then you just declare that, and they may take your temperature. They take your temperature everywhere.
Oh, do they?
So
with
as long as you're
laser things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the infrared.
Well, so we've covered COVID. Let me ask you, you know, you're full of life, you're full of joy, because your Catholic faith motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to ask each one of you what spiritual figure, perhaps, man or woman, have you seen as a help in your life,
mm-hmm.
As a family and also in Rome?
Mm. Well, I have so many heroes of the faith. And one of my favorites is Cardinal Van Thuan, who's entombed in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
His tomb is in the Church of Santa Maria della Scala. And when he was arrested in the 1970s in Vietnam, he was stripped of his clothes. He was sent on a boat and with starving people in this horrible situation and, of course, sent off to be imprisoned. And as he was on his way, he was praying, and he said, "Lord, why have you done this to me?" And he really felt the Lord respond to him and say, "Because I want you to be a missionary here, now." And that changed his perspective. And for his 13 years in prison, he loved his captors. And as they spat on him and urinated on him, he continued to love them. And so I am very moved by those words, to be a missionary now, whatever our situation is, no matter how difficult, no matter where we are.
Mm-hmm. John?
For me, it's Peter and Paul, especially since my middle name is Peter, and understanding how, despite denying Christ three times, so if you ask the early confessors, what's the worst sin possible, worse than murder or anything else, is the sin of just completely, totally denying Christ. And he still was given the keys and the responsibility, so there's always that hope. And the same thing with Paul in Galatians 1. He talks about how he, the persecutor, had now had a change of heart, and people couldn't imagine how the persecutor was now preaching the same person that he was denouncing in Christ. And it's that idea of the mercy and love of God. And Psalm 139 tells us he knows every thought. He knows before we sit and before we stand. And even when we see ourselves as not being worthy, all we have to do, so as my namesake, John in John 13, just put his head on the bosom of Christ. And that's the closest one can think of contemplation, or even the way between Martha and Mary. Martha was wondering, what can I do to make it the most special for Christ? And then Mary just sat at his feet and enjoyed his presence. And so it's that idea of these amazing saints and martyrs, Peter and Paul, who went through their journey and eventually, through God's grace, made it. And that's our philosophy. We try and keep our spirituality simple. Our daily prayer is two things. For the discernment to know what the will of God is, and for the grace to do it. And that's what Peter and Paul exemplify for me.
Good. A great example for all of us. Well, I have to say that for my 10 years working at the Vatican, I would see John and Ashley frequently, sometimes at my altar at St. Peter's where I had Mass, or around town. I think once at a Lebanese banquet. Was that you guys?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
anyway.
Right.
So it's been a great pleasure to have them have this little reunion here at Catholic Spirit Radio this afternoon.
What's a joy to be here.
Yes, yes. And
thank you.
And so thank you for coming again. Let's pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen.
In a few minutes, we'll share with you our Sunday scripture. May God bless you and bring many graces to you this weekend.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Here's an easy way to donate to Catholic Spirit Radio. As an Amazon shopper, you can donate 0.5% of your purchase cost to Catholic Spirit Radio, also known as 2820 Communications. Before making a purchase, you will always need to log into smile.amazon.com, search and select 2820 Communications, or choose this charity under account settings. Thank you for supporting Catholic Spirit Radio through 2820 Communications with your Amazon Smile purchase.
The Gospel this Sunday is from St. Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servant, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike. And the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guest, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen." And that's the gospel of the Lord for this Sunday. When I was a kid, there was a song, "I cannot come to the banquet. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't bother me now. I have married a wife. I had bought me a cow." Of course, as third graders, we'd like to change that. "I have bought me a wife. I have married a cow." And then we would snicker. And then the teacher would say, "What's going on?" Sister would say. Well, anyway, it was a way, as they did so much in the late 60s, it was a way to try to get us to understand what the gospel meaning was about. I have to say it didn't help in any way, because I would say, "Well, that's kind of mean. The man without the wedding garment is thrown out." But this is a parable of the kingdom. And so our Lord is teaching us what the kingdom of heaven may be like. This follows on, of course, other parables in which our Lord talked about the old way, the old law giving way to the new law. And the chosen people of the Old Testament peoples, the Hebrew people, some of them coming into the new church, to the new law, but that the family of God would spread much wider into all kinds of countries. And some of the Old Testament peoples then refused to come. We hear that they had mistreated the messengers that were sent out, and they refused to come. And then our Lord sent out messengers to others. The master sent out messengers to the others, and they refused to come, some of them also. But some did come, and some came who were not ready. And that's the one without the proper wedding garment. Now, I've heard pastors talk about the need not to wear shorts in church, you know, and then quote this Bible passage, not being in a festal garment for the Mass. Well, that's a debate for another time. But nonetheless, we need to be clear that the kingdom of heaven, while it is our Lord's desire that we all be there, it will not be open to everyone, especially to those who spurn the Lord, who spurn the church, who deny the messages, the teachings that our Lord sends. And so, like the guest who came to the wedding without a proper wedding garment, who was reduced to silent, there may be many who will also be invited, but not chosen, as our Lord says. May God bless you this Sunday.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.